When Matthew Cullen's crop of medical marijuana became the object of a great tug-of-war between Mendocino County and the United States of America, many paused to ask, which government should be in control, local or federal?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 750th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Ushuaia who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hey, Nikki, we're 750, three-quarters of a way to our millennium.
Amazing. Good morning.
Morning. Folks, marijuana, a crop once grown widely throughout the civilized world, was made illegal in 1937. Today, you may not legally consume any part of the plant unless you have sneezed more than twice since birth, in which case you are eligible to consume the plant as medical marijuana. Thus, we have an interesting dilemma for all concerned. How does one obtain legal medical marijuana from illegal marijuana farms? The good folks in Mendocino County, California, crafted what they believed was a reasonable homegrown solution to the dilemma by simply normalizing the farming of medical marijuana. Nearly 100 farmers agreed to participate in a county program that allowed for a maximum of 99 plants per farm. Each farmer paid the county sheriff $50 per plant to superintend production and enforce environmental and security procedures. When Mendocino County Sheriff took control of medical marijuana farming, business blossomed for farmers like Matthew Cohen, whose Northstone Organics featured home deliveries to surrounding communities. Everybody was happy. Mendocino County made money. The farmers made money, and those in need had their need satisfied. Other counties looked on the success of Mendocino County and began to make plans to take control of their medical marijuana farms. Just when everyone was getting down to the business of living happily ever after, heavily armed agents of the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency brought a battering ram to Matthew Cohen's front door and chainsaws into his medical marijuana garden. Said U.S. Attorney Melinda Haig, "We are making this announcement to put to rest the notion that large medical marijuana businesses can shelter themselves under state law and operate without fear of federal government." This tug of war over medical marijuana leads us to ask which federal government should be in control, local or national. And who better to ask than Matthew Cohen himself? Matthew, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you aboard today. You know, got an interesting sound there. What do you think that is, Miss Nikki? We'll work it out here. Matthew, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Maybe the sound disappeared. So, you are a medical marijuana farmer, right?
Correct.
Okay. It's interesting, I've covered this story for a significant number of years and have had the opportunity to interview many marijuana farmers, and you're the first person ever to stand before a microphone or a camera and offer up his true identity. Is this a sign that we're coming to grips with the whole issue of marijuana, do you think? That you're willing to stand up and say, this is who I am?
I think certainly in California we are.
Like I said, you're the first person to stand up in front of the microphone and say, I am who I am. Also with us today, we have Alan St. Pierre, who's the director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Welcome to the Food Chain, Alan.
Good day.
Good day. Pleased to have you aboard. What on earth is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, for those who of us have been living under a log for the last 20 years?
It would be America's oldest and largest marijuana law reform organization based in Washington, D.C., with a couple hundred chapters around the United States, including numerous ones in California.
Good enough. And who paves the way for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws?
Sure. Of our $850,000 a year budget, which puts us a couple blocks from the White House here on K Street in Washington, D.C., about 80% comes from membership dues, $35 per year, some product sales, seminars, and conference sales.
And you don't have to sell medical marijuana, though.
No. In fact, I can only imagine where we would be in the IRS's eyes if we were selling medical marijuana.
Well, Alan, I'll start with you. When it comes to cannabis, has there ever been a normal?
Pardon me, please?
When it comes to marijuana, has there ever been a normal?
Ever been a normal, like a normal C in policy?
Well, just has marijuana ever been normal?
Yes. In fact, it's been so normal that we can, whether one wants to take the intelligent design mode or one wants to take the evolution mode, the discovery of the THC receptor system in the brain, in the spinal cord, and in the gut system demonstrates human beings have literally co-evolved, or some higher being placed these products in our bodies, such that it's indisputable that human beings have had a normal relationship with cannabis up until 1937, when the federal government made the plant verboten.
And that's what they did. Now, U.S. attorney in San Francisco said that they're doing this action at Matthew Cohen's medical marijuana farm in order to put to rest the notion that large medical marijuana businesses can shelter themselves under a state law and operate without fear of the federal government.
Well, this, of course, is folly, because there are hundreds and hundreds of large dispensary cultivation centers in California, and most notably in states like Colorado, where they actually have state-issued licenses. The federal government wants to go after large 1,000 plant grow operations. It doesn't have to do anything more than pick up the phone and call the Colorado Medical Marijuana Law Enforcement Division, get the names and addresses of those individuals, and then go federally raid them. So they're not doing that as they have done to Matthew in places like New Mexico, Colorado, Maine. All of those states have legal, lawful, under state law, medical cannabis facilities. So it's a complete uneven application of the law.
So is this about marijuana or is this about control?
Oh, this is ultimately about control. And the federal government is asserting control of medical marijuana this year on numerous fronts, which I'm sure we'll talk about in today's discussion. But there's no doubt this is not about the cannabis plant and whether or not human beings can safely interact with it. No, that question was answered a very long time ago. We are talking about a situation where the federal government now looks at 14 states that have decriminalized possession of marijuana, 16 states in the District of Columbia that, for lack of a better word, have medicalized marijuana. And frankly, I think the Rubicon was reached this past January in Oakland when the Oakland City Council put all of the proper political imprimaturs on a bill that was going to cede some land that Oakland had to what we call here normal ganjapreneurs, who were going to give a small percentage of the sales and certainly make a large single payment for the license to grow on this government-ceded land. That is the Rubicon where the federal government, and as mentioned earlier, federal attorney Haig basically said no. Now, the Oakland cannot go that route. And from that point forward, we've definitely had a blowback, as we've alluded to already.
So let me ask you this. Matthew Cohen, who's with us today, is the first person I've ever met who's been actually willing to stand up and say, hey, I grow marijuana. My name's Matthew Cohen. And there. Is that a sign that we're coming to some sense of normalization of the whole reefer madness era? That somebody
it is to a large Well, it is to a large degree. You're certainly, for the last 40 years, almost anybody who's appeared in the media has appeared in some cloaked form or manner. Unfortunately, there is some precedent to individuals showing up on television and talking in the first person about their marijuana cultivation for purposes other than their own use. There was a young man in Colorado who became quite a celebrity case where he was interviewed just in an average sort of run-of-the-day interview about, you know, well, why do you do what you do in Colorado? Why'd you move here? He said, well, I moved to this state because it has medical marijuana laws. I've always wanted to grow medical marijuana, and my goal someday is to grow and make $100,000 a year selling medical marijuana. And the next day, he was visited at his Highlands ranch by the DEA, and he's one of the few people in all of Colorado who's been arrested, prosecuted, and that man is now serving a 5-year sentence in federal jail for exactly the same thing that Matthew has done. He went on to TV and said, I'm engaged in this behavior.
And we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to follow up that story with Matthew Cohen and Alan St. Pierre, and you do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, we all know that marijuana is illegal unless you happen to have sneezed more than twice since birth, in which case you can get medical marijuana, which sets up an interesting dilemma for all concerned, which is, how does one obtain legal medical marijuana from illegal marijuana farms? Well, the good folks up in Mendocino County thought they had it all figured out, and so they were all happily growing their way into a good little business. And when the federal government came crashing in with their battering rams and shotguns and chainsaws, and Matthew Cohen, what did you think when they showed up at your front door with a battering ram?
Well, first off, I don't think that the way you depicted that story is really the way it actually is.
Well, tell us how it is then.
Yeah, Mendocino County is, you know, in the Emerald Triangle. It's mm-hmm. the primary production area for the United States for marijuana, illicit marijuana. Proposition 215, some 15, 16 years ago, legalized medical marijuana for patients and caregivers, and cooperatives and collectives could, patients and caregivers could cooperatively or collectively associate to grow their medicine together, transport and distribute it amongst each other, not for profit. Northstone Organics incorporated with the Secretary of State as a not-for-profit consumer cooperative, structured itself exactly in the spirit of the law, and then approached the local government, who's had massive, years and years of problems controlling the illicit production of cannabis and not being able to tell the legal folks from the illegal folks. So we went to them and we said, hey, regulate us. We'll show you how. We'll show you how to regulate us all the way through the entire process.
Well, tell us, tell me about the look on their face when you told them that, when you said regulate.
Well, actually, one of the supervisors, we went into a planning commission meeting and said, went to the public comment section and said, hey, you know, we're Northstone Organics Cooperative. We need more than 25 plants per parcel, which was the current regulatory scheme in Mendocino County to try to get control of the illicit production. And we said, hey, we're actually the legal guys, and we need more than 25 plants per parcel. So in that process, we met Supervisor John McCowan, who kind of looked me in the eye and said, "Are you willing to challenge this in court?" You know, I think he was trying to make sure that we really, really were going to walk the walk. We were talking, and we developed a working relationship, developed a community working group to try to tackle this issue that eventually evolved into the Health and Human Services Committee at the Board of Supervisors, and the 9.31 ordinance was amended to allow for co-ops and collectives to grow 99 plants per parcel.
So you really catched an agreement with the local government then. I mean, you really developed a working relationship with the local government to grow medical marijuana legally.
Well, it was already legal to grow medical marijuana in the state of California. It's just that it was not legal in Mendocino County to grow over 25 plants per parcel.
Okay.
And that was because they were trying to rein in the, you know, the Wild West that's been happening. We said, well, hey, you know, we understand there's the Wild West, but then there is also actual sick patients and caregivers that need to associate to cultivate their own medicine. And henceforth came 9.31's addendum, which essentially said that, hey, if you can meet these some 25 conditions and sheriff inspections three times a year, we'll believe that you're legit and confirm you're legit and allow you to have this license. Mm-hmm. And we were basically the pilot program, the pilot for that program.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you talk about the Wild West, I'm reminiscing about a job I had working for NBC Television, David Brinkley's NBC Magazine. We were doing a piece on the marijuana growers of the West Coast, and I was in Mendocino County. And I was on a hill taking a shot with a 16-millimeter camera, and I was in tight on a sheriff's deputy getting out of his car and walking into the sheriff's substation. And then I pulled back to a wide-angle shot, and there right in the middle of the photograph was a marijuana plant. It was incredible. So Mendocino County's been going through this for decades, and it seems like you somehow worked up a relationship where you could almost get along together in some semblance of law and order. Is that a fair assertion?
Yes. Well, I mean, we're talking the largest eradication operation of all time happened in Mendocino County this summer. Operation Full Court Press, 400 federal agents with Apache helicopters flying over our farms daily, going out there and eradicating tens of thousands of cartel plants. Mexican cartels, and there's even Bulgarian cartel. I mean, it's amazing the organized crime that's growing on public lands now. And us 95 licensed medical cannabis co-op and collective farms had serial numbers on large, you know, 10-foot banners pointing at the sky to those federal agent helicopters saying, hey, we're the legal guys, don't eradicate us.
But they evidently didn't pay much attention, though, did they?
Well, they didn't. They didn't eradicate us any time while they were in town. The operation ended, and a month and a half later, the DEA came and raided North Star Organics.
So you were the subject of the special attention of the DEA then. You were like the target of a special mission then.
Well, I think you know. Alan pointed out some interesting points that, you know, and some of these other state-regulated states where the regulations come from the state down. Mm-hmm. You have to register with the state that they're not having these types of issues. Of course, there's that fellow that was, you know, growing in his house in an urban area that he was not, I believe, state-licensed,
okay.
who went on the news and got himself raided. I think that they are, in fact, attacking what any semblance of regulation in California. I think they see the progress that's gone on in Colorado and some other states, and that California's law has been quite a bit looser than those other states, and therefore there's been a lot more abuse. And now that there's certain entities that are trying to be these flagship entities that are saying, hey, look, this is how you do it. You know, this is how you can do it legitimately and transparently. That's becoming very threatening. I think the idea of Prop 19 passed.
Well, let me ask you this. I ask Alan, is this about marijuana or is this about control?
is this about, what was the first part?
Is this all of this mayhem about marijuana itself, the plant, or is it about control, government control?
Ultimately about government control. I mean, because when we frame it with these numbers here, 75% of the American public support medical access to marijuana. That's an astounding number. 73% support this notion of decriminalization, pretty much the law California's had on the books since 1975. When you get caught with an ounce or so, it's a decriminalization penalty. It's not that big of a deal. And now, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we've crossed a very important Rubicon, and that is the Gallup poll indicates 50% of Americans want marijuana legalized. Only 46% of Americans support its prohibition.
That's pretty good. You know, that's the second Rubicon we've crossed already, and the show's not even half hour old.
So, we're
rocking and rolling here today with Alan St. Pierre, who's the director of the National Organization for the Reform of America. Gosh, how long have you guys been in business, Alan?
40 years this year.
And also with us today, we have Matthew Cohen. Is that your real name, Matthew?
Yes, it is.
You're the first person to ever come out in front of my microphones or cameras or whatever with a real name, and I've been doing this for, I don't know, 30 years. So I guess we've been in business a long time with this. And is there an end? How can we get legal medical marijuana from illegal marijuana plantations? That's a subject. And who should be in control of this, folks? Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? Should this madness be taken over by local authorities, or should it be in the hands of the federal government? That's the question we've got on the table today, and we invite you to participate if you so desire. 831-479-1080 is the phone number. 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. We will be right back. When Matthew Cohen's crop of medical marijuana became the object of a great tug-of-war between Mendocino County and the United States of America, many paused to ask which government should be in control, local or federal? Good question. That's the one we're grappling with today, and we've got Matthew Cohen himself, who is a medical marijuana grower in Mendocino County, California. Also with us, Alan St. Pierre, who's the director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws up there in Washington, D.C. So when the feds showed up at your door and bashed it in you let them in, right, Matthew?
Yeah, I told them there was no need to kick it in and that I was opening the door and not to shoot the dogs.
Do they do that? Shoot dogs?
Do they shoot dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah, watchdogs probably. So at any rate, the U.S. attorney said when responding, you know, why they did this to your farm, they said, "We are making this announcement to put to rest the notion that large medical marijuana businesses can shelter themselves under state law and operate without fear of federal government."
That's not true. There was no response to why they raided us. That was the press conference that came out prior to our raid.
Oh, prior to your raid?
Yes, that came out prior to the raid, and they named off a threshold of 1,000 plants, 200 kilos. They said that they were targeting people that were hiding behind the veil of medical marijuana, and they even cited, you know, a North Hollywood dispensary that was shipping, you know, pounds to the East Coast. And then in the midst of all this smoke, they came and raided us.
So they said, we're only going to bust plantations with 1,000 plants, and then they went and busted you with 99 plants.
We're the most highly regulated dispensing farming co-op in the state of California. I mean, the sheriff's department inspects the farm 3 times a year.
Wow.
There's no dispensary in the state of California that that happens.
Well, let me step back a step or two and ask Alan St. Pierre, is there a difference between marijuana and medical marijuana?
Well, at a pharmacological level, no. At a legal level, at the federal government level, no. But as I mentioned earlier, 16 states and the District of Columbia, which populations-based now equal 125 million Americans, so roughly 1 out of 3 Americans live in a state or municipality where medical marijuana is been approved either by initiative or by legislative vote.
Is this becoming like a war between the states?
I mean, if anybody wanted one of the best examples of the friction that this country was literally born out of between the states, you know, we are the United States of America, mm-hmm. and the federal government. And, of course, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment address this quite specifically. And so we've gone to the Supreme Court twice in 2002 and 2005 on this very contentious issue of medical marijuana.
Well, now, according to a number of people who emailed me or posted on the forums at metrofarm.com, this should be a state's rights issue as per the 10th Amendment. Would you explain?
Well, as the 10th Amendment indicates, that the rights not enumerated to the federal government are left to the states. As long as the states are not taking away individual rights and property rights, they can provide and grant and wash as many privileges and rights as we all would love to and want to have. So in the case of addressing this here in Washington now, for at least the last 4 years, there's been a bill that one will not even move out of subcommittees on allowing states, and doesn't legalize marijuana, it doesn't even change the status, the Controlled Substances Act status of marijuana from Schedule 1 to a lower schedule. If this bill were to be passed, and it's called the State's Rights to Medical Marijuana, talk about very apropos language here, that it would allow any state that wants to have a regulatory system to be able to do so.
Mm-hmm. And yet, there we are. So, have you ever known anybody anywhere at any time that's ever been turned down for medical marijuana?
We used to turn down people all the time. I mean, Northstone Organics co-op, you have to prove that you're a patient or a caregiver.
You have to have a prescription or something, don't you, from a doctor?
That's correct. But even folks that have gotten prescriptions from doctors that we thought were not legitimate, we made the decision ourselves to not allow them to join the co-op. And there's certainly been times where we had folks join the co-op and it seemed like they were perhaps looking to consume more than what was reasonable, and or that we were worried about any possible diversion.
That would not be a legal reason. That would be a personal reason. It's like turning somebody down at the bar who's had too many drinks, right?
I think it's like turning somebody down at a grocery store that's going to walk outside and sell, you know, alcohol.
Tomorrow. Oh, okay. So you're trying to regulate the trade then. So how did the local sheriff react when the federal government came swooping into the county and busted you? What did the local authorities have to say?
Of course, I think they're very upset. They've been very supportive of us. And anger. There's a letter from Supervisor John McCowan, who was, if you go up on the street and ask people of Mendocino County who Supervisor John McCowan is, I'd say most of them probably still think he's the evil anti-pot guy. And he's actually the one that drafted the regulations that highly regulated production in Mendocino County. And he said, you know, we were on the phone 2 days before this happened, you know, talking about how the importance of, you know, compliance and non-diversion and how this model could be adopted at a state level and so forth. There's a whole letter from him that was written to the press. We had a press conference in San Francisco with Assemblyman Tom Almiano and the mayor of Fairfax and Supervisor David Campos from San Francisco, and I can send it over to you if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. So what did they bust you for, Matthew? The feds come, you know, barging into your farm with shotguns and battering rams and chainsaws, and you have 99 marijuana plants with the sheriff's flag on each plant. So just out of curiosity, Matthew Cohen, you're under arrest for what?
Well, they said that they have a federal warrant. The warrant's sealed, still under investigation, which is...
So they arrested you with a sealed warrant that nobody knows what's in it?
Yes, because the investigation is still underway. We hope that will always be the case, because typically that's what they say if they're not actually intending on pressing charges. And so far, to our knowledge, there's no U.S. attorney on the case. We don't, our criminal defense attorney, William Panzer, who's also the co-author of POP 215, thinks that perhaps these agents were kind of operating on their own, and not really, this was not something that, you know, they were sitting around with Melinda Haig, U.S. attorney, saying, okay, go get Matt Cohen and go show Mendocino County what we don't like.
Well, that's interesting.
We are currently...
Can you hold that thought? We have to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. Who do you think should be running this reefer madness? Should it be local government or should it be federal government? That's what we're trying to come to grips with, and we have a conflict in Mendocino County over the local government and the federal government. Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, marijuana is illegal, except not really. In some states, it's medicalized, and now it's not really illegal. But how do you get legal medical marijuana from illegal marijuana farms? Well, the good folks up there in Mendocino County figured out a neighborly, friendly way. They just worked together and worked it out. But it didn't last because the federal government looked at the local government and said, hey, you can't do that. That's our job. And so they came crashing in. So Ellen St. Pierre, Matt's attorney, seems to suggest that this was a bunch of rogue DEA agents acting on their own.
Well, that certainly could be the case. There's 850,000 marijuana arrests per year in the United States, and not many of them are terribly coordinated. And Matthew's operation and farm is extremely well known, extremely well regulated. It would seem terribly improbable that the attorney from the federal government would send somebody up from San Francisco to go and go after such a compliant farm. And that area alone, with the sheriff and the city council, stand out as very, very pragmatic, trying to find some common ground between federal laws and state laws that aren't very clear on this, and acknowledging this is what the people want, this is what the socioeconomics call for, and to come up with a system that everybody could agree with. So I'd like to think that this is very aberrational, and that hopefully with some good lawyering and some good political pressure, this case, like so many others, will go away, because as many people get arrested for medical cannabis, not many people per se are actually prosecuted, because the federal government really doesn't want to bring these cases to trial. Very often the cases were the juries will just simply nullify the case.
So why did the federal government bust Matt's farm? Was it compliance an issue here? Was that something that's going on? Because, you know, Matthew does everything right, works with everybody, pays his taxes, and he's compliant. He's working together with the local government. Why did the federal government bust this farm?
Well, only if this were to go to trial, and the media will rightly ask those type of questions of the prosecutors, the police officers and the agents will not be answering these questions. This would only be answered by the prosecutors and their PR divisions. But if those are questions are rigorously asked, just as you did there, they have to come up with some rationalization, particularly in a county where there are effectively 50 to 100 other individuals in cooperatives engaged in pretty much the same activity, and they didn't face any of the same type of prosecution. This is what I mean by very selective prosecution.
Matthew, the DEA's in your garden. They have chainsaws. They're chopping down your pot plants, and well, they turn the engine off, and then they look over their shoulder, and they smile, and they said what? Why did they do
that? That didn't actually happen. I tried to ask them what, you know, why they were here at such a high profile.
Yeah, why are they there? What did they say?
You know, Well, I mean, at first they question, you know, what do you mean high profile? And I'm like, well, haven't you seen Frontline PBS? Haven't you seen, you know, I mean, aren't you aware that we were the pilot program? The sheriff's department is aware of this farm, and so forth. And then they said, you know, the sheriff's program is a sham. And I'd like to, you know, I mean, you got to realize that, you know, it's been how many years now of marijuana prohibition, and these enforcement officers, it's very ingrained in the culture of law enforcement. Even, in fact, the sheriff's department itself is you know, kind of split on the subject. You know, the sheriff-elect, right, of course, is very supportive, but there's certainly narcotics agents in the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department that are probably not pro this regulatory scheme. So we, you know, I see this as an attack on regulation. There's other things.
So we're back to control,
well,
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the you know, I think Alan started to highlight a little bit the fact that we're being attacked the first time. This is the most coordinated attack ever on medical cannabis. I mean, the ATF not allowing medical cannabis patients to have guns. The IRS audit of Harborside, basically saying that he's like the Al Capone kingpin and using the 280E clause to basically bankrupt the company. The pressure on the FDIC, the pressure on the federal banking system to close dispensary bank accounts and force them back into just operating on cash, which is very, very dangerous. And then, of course, our raid. And the landlord letters, the asset forfeiture of these dispensaries. It's a very public relations balanced attack on California, and they're doing some of those things in Colorado.
Wasn't the current administration favorably disposed to all of this? I mean,
apparently not.
Okay, I guess not. It's just really confusing to me, and of course, I guess it has been to everybody forever. What are the feds afraid of, Alan? Okay, you got to hold that. We're going to have to take a quick break. But, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about medical marijuana mayhem and how the good folks up there in Mendocino County tried to catch together an agreement with local government to work out a way that people could get legal medical marijuana from legal marijuana farms. And it was almost all worked out. People were paying their taxes. The county government was making a little money. Everybody was happy. And then the feds came in with the DEA and they chopped all the plants down and said, you can't do this. So really, who do we want to have in control of this mayhem and try to bring normalization to cannabis? The federal government or this local government? What do you think? Right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 750th edition of The Food Chain. I've been doing a lot of shows over the years, and the last couple of years I've been doing a lot of radio programs about how the federal government is launching concentrated armed attacks on small farmers who are selling their friends and neighbors food from their farms. And this, I guess, is another one of those shows. The federal government, with an armed team of DEA agents, has raided the medical marijuana farm of Matthew Cohen and arrested him with a sealed warrant. Nobody knows what's in it. Maybe nothing's in it. So what on earth is happening here? Alan St. Pierre, director of the National Organization of the Form of Marijuana Laws here in Washington, D.C., right down the street from the White House. What on earth is going on with our federal government? What are they so afraid of?
Well, without giving a dissertation-length reply, since 1937, the government has basically been having to try to protect the big lie about marijuana. Here in D.C., there are 20 or more bureaucracies. Sure, you've heard of the DARE program. You've heard of the DEA. You've heard of the Partnership for Drug-Free America. You've heard of the Drug Czar's Office. But you haven't heard of the other 15 massive bureaucracies that these institutions drive the prohibition. The federal government is the sui generis of this, and effectively, if the laws were to be passed correctly, they would be passed from the top down. But because blessedly we do live in a democracy where it largely comes from the bottom up, well, as arduous and painful and expensive as this has been, as this has become, that due pressure is coming to Washington. This is the last place in America that gets it. The West Coast entirely embraces medical marijuana, if not legalization of it outright, and it's going to lead the rest of the nation in this direction. That seems quite clear. It's a fait accompli, frankly.
Well, Matt Cohen, are you the point of the spear?
Well, I certainly agree with Alan, and that you know, it's just like it's just, this is history repeating itself. It's just like alcohol prohibition. It took, you know, a certain amount of states to just throw their hands up in the air and say, hey, we're not enforcing this. This is a waste of our time and money, until finally the federal government and Congress changed its laws. So I think, you know, the next steps really are for California to develop a regulatory scheme similar to Colorado's, run it quite a bit tighter, get the elected officials to feel like they can stand up and fight for medical cannabis in their state, not get egg on their face from, you know, other bad actors out there. And then enough these states get together and influence the federal government, and then we can see some change.
Mike, quick comment. Are you there, Mike? Hello? Go ahead, really quickly.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the things that hasn't been brought up so far is that the CIA has been involved in this kind of a prohibition effort, and trying to, you know, like this full court press issue that you were talking about, you don't see this happening with heroin and cocaine. They're not full court pressing on heroin cocaine, but they're full court pressing on marijuana.
So, Mike, who should be in control, local or federal?
Well, this is my point, is that really, what if nobody was in control? They've made us believe that somebody has to be in control of marijuana. What would happen if there was nobody in control?
Great question, and we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. And thank you, Matthew. We really appreciate your participating under your own name, Matthew Cohen, point of the spear up there in Mendocino County, Alan St. Pierre, who's the director of National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. Folks, we had a whole bunch of people on the lines, couldn't get to them, but you can log your comments on at metrofarm.com on the forum page. Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.